Okay, Rabbi Sai, we're continuing our discussion here in Simin Shinem related to the dinim of Kriya. The question is, how does one go about tearing Kriya? What exactly is the proper way of tearing Kriya? So the Gemara tells me that Kriya has to be Mu'umad, that you have to tear when you're standing. There is a Machlokes HaRishonim about what that means. Does that mean that if a person tears Kriya when the person is sitting, that they do not fulfill the inyan of Kriya? Or does that mean that there's a lachatchila that you're supposed to stand? Like everything in Judaism, it's Machlokes. The Ravid assumes that b'di'eved, you fulfill the inyan of Kriya when you're sitting. But the Ramban, is quoted in the Russian Simin Mem Gimel, assumes that you are not Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kriya, when you're sitting, you're not Mekayim it at all. The Gemara tries to derive from two different psukim, that there is Kriya Mu'umad, there's a pasuk by Ya'amod, Iyo, by Yikras B'gadav, then there's a pasuk by David HaMelech, Vayamod Vayikra. So the Gemara says, well, one second, Ala Me'ata Bechalitza, it says, Va'omad, Va'omar, Rochafasi Lepachta, are you going to tell me that you're not Mekayim the Inyan of Chalitza when it's Meyushav, when we know that you are Mekayim Chalitza when it's Meyushav? So the Gemara distinguishes between when it says Va'omad, when it says Vayamod. It's like a very funny sort of linguistic type of discussion. But the Pashtus in the Gemara over there would be that you taka are mekayim the inyan of chalitza, so when you are sitting down. However, there's another Gemara that talks about a meimar, that they came to a meimar and they tell him that so-and-so died and he tore Kriya. And they tell him, oh, by the way, it's the wrong person, so he tears Kriya again. Then he remembered that it was the right person they tore Kriya for the second time. They tore sitting down, so he stood up again and tore Kriya. So you get an impression from over there that you're not Mekayim, the Inyan of Kriya, Klavi Ikar, when you are sitting down. That's the Pashtus. That's why Amemar stood up. So it's like the Ravid, no Raya, right? The Rush quotes in the Ravid. There's no proof in that Gemara. Because maybe Amemar was Machmir al Atzmohaya. Maybe a meimar did a chumrah, and that's why he tore, even though it's unnecessary. That's why a meimar tore. Now, it's a little bit difficult because l'cha'ira, the Ravid is saying that it's damazoi a meimar is machmer l'atzmo. How can you be machmering yourself in tear kriya when you're not supposed to? Right? The din is, we saw in the Piskei Tshuvos, if katan aleph, that there's an isser of bal tashbis, that there's a prohibition to tear kriya when it's unnecessary. Right? That's the impression that you get from the Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Tzadi Beis tells us, like points Rebbe Elazar, hakoreya al meso yoser min hatzorich is mekayim, not mekayim, is over the isser of bal tashbis. You violate Paltashbis if you rip unnecessarily. So what exactly does the Ravid mean? So al karchacha, you have to say that the Ravid holds that that Gemara in Bava Kamma doesn't mean it lahalacha. The Gemara, this is a point that my friend the Mishmeres HaTahara makes. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that you violate Paltashbis. That's in the statement of Amar Rebbe Elazar. It's the same fellow, Rabbi Kark. He's like, he was one of the henchmen that didn't allow you to get into Rabbi Yashiv. Like Rabbi Willick has some story that he tells about he had a shayla to Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Frati, who was like a chavrusa of Rabbi David Willick in Karen Biavne, tried to get him in, and Rabbi Kark didn't let him in. They're like different people who like hung around the Rabbi Yashiv circle and like were the tough guys. So Rabbi Karp, was one of them. Thank you. In the Mishmeres Hasmachos, Rabbi Karp tainos that the Ravid al Karchacha holds that when the Gemara over there says that Rabbi Lazar holds, if you tear unnecessarily, you violate Baal Tashbis, that's not accepted lahalacha. The Gemara over there in Bava Kamma Tzadi Beis has a number of other Amoraim And you get an impression that they're saying that there's no isser of batashvis if you tear unnecessarily. And I would argue that the Raivin has to hold this way. The Raivin has to hold that there is zero baltashkas when you tear on when you tear as a chumrah. Right? One could argue that should be usher tear as a chumrah. The Raivin holds there is no baltashkas at all when you tear as a chumrah. The Gemara on Chaf Beis tells me that afar kisuso eina ma'akevas. Right, that again, we're going to have to define the terms. But afar kisuso, right, does not prevent the kriya. So the rabbit says, "Whoa, dude, hold it for a second. Eina ma'akeves, right? Touch the verite. What does it mean? Eina ma'akeves. L'chora, that means that it's not ma'akev, and you fulfill the inyan of kriya without afar kisuso. Other, if I want to tear afar kisuso, great." No? That's what the Raivin writes. Afar ksusai, eina ma'akeves. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban disagrees, by the way, in both halachas. Both in the halacha of Kirei'a Miyushav, where the Raivin says, and this Ramban, this one is on page 56, others on page 63 in the Rav Shavel, when the Rav Shavel Ramban, I forget which is which. But the point is, the Ramban disagrees on both points. And I maintain that the disagreement between the Ramban and the Raivid is that the Raivid holds that a person can tear Kriya unnecessarily. You want to tear Kriya as a Chumrah, you want to tear Kriya Afar Kesusai, it's not necessary, can you tear Kriya? The Raivid's going to say, yes, you can tear Kriya unnecessarily. I, the Gemara Bava Kamma, we don't hold like that Gemara Bava Kamma. That's what the Raivid holds. The Ramban holds that, no, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Miyushav. And the Ramban writes that Afar Ksusai Eina Ma'akeves, the Ramban has like a funny lashon. He writes that when we say Afar Ksusai Eina Ma'akeves, that means that you are not Ma'akev the Kriya in the sense of you should not tear afar ksuso. The Gemara's lashon is not lo kara afar ksuso eno ma'akeves. The lashon of the Gemara, this is what the Ramban says. Okay, I need like some linguist over here to explain this Ramban to me. But the Ramban's lashon is that the Gemara does not say im lo kara afar ksuso eno ma'akeves. That language would imply raivid. But says the Ramban, no. Says the Ramban, afar ksuso eno ma'akeves means you should not tear afar ksuso. In both situations, the Shulchan Aruch writes that Afar Ksusei Eino Tzarech L'Kroa, that's if you against the Afar Ksusei Eino Tzarech L'Kroa would sound a little bit like the Ravid. I should note that in Se'if Tess also, it sounds a little bit like the Ravid. Alko Amesim Korea Tefach Bebegar Ha'oyom B'dayo. Right? Vidayo means if you're Korea, one tefach, okay, that's enough. But if you want to do more, you can. Both Siftes and Sifyud sounds raivid. However, the din of Kri Ami Yushav, that's paskind in Seif Aleph, is that if you do not tear Mu'umad, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. Im karam yushav lo yotza, the Rama writes, tzarech lechzor v'likroa, that you have to tear again. This sounds like the Ramban, not like the Raivid. So there's, to my mind, a teeny bit of a contradiction between the Ramban and, there is machlokas Ramban and Raivid, there's a teeny bit of a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch as to which opinion I follow. I should add, just one nekuda, that there might be a difference between being mosif al hakera and tearing an entirely new kriya. Right? The Pistei Tshuva over here in Os Aleph writes that if your friend tears kriya for you and he tears too much, you violate patashas. Now, one could argue that that's not correct. Right? Maybe that would be patashas in the time of the Gemara. when a ripped jacket would be resewn. But his man has that. What's a ripped jacket worth? Absolutely nothing. No? So one could argue, that since it's not worth anything, so therefore maybe there's no baltashkas. And this is a further discussion, by the way. I love baltashkas. It's like so amazing. Is there an iser baltashkas on items that are worthless? Right? Is there baltashkas to chop down a tree of hefker? Right? There's a rush in Maseches Midos in the fourth chapter, where the Rush writes that there's no baltashkas on something that's hefker. That would sound like baltashkas somehow is a sniff. It's an extension of gezela. Something that's worthless is no baltashkas. Bizman hazeh, adding to the kera, right, l'cha'ora, can't be baltashkas. Or maybe even bizmanehem, there's no baltashkas. So you tear a little bit more, you'll sew it back up, right? One could argue that there's a difference between ripping an additional rip, which is like an unnecessary thing entirely, and just being mosif al hakera. Again, the Mishmeres Hasmachos points this out, although I could see Ellie's face. He's saying, one second, logically, there should be no difference. If a ripped jacket is worthless, there should be no difference if I tear here and here, or if I just have a longer tear than necessary. I hear that point. But the Mishmeres Hasmachos presents it the way I just said it. Hi, sir. How's Judaism?
On Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah says that Kriya is chayav on Shabbos, even if it's an Tzricha L'gufa, if there's a purpose, not necessarily in
Al-Mesa. The Gemara writes in Perek Habona, yeah, the Kriya Al-Mesa. In other words, it's a din that I get rid of my anger, so to speak. Or the Mirma Emsa Al-Imshe Beise.
Even by the Mace, it's a similar thing.
Because it removes, but if the avail, again, you are tearing kriya for Reuven. Reuven wants you to only tear a tefach. No? You tear more. So it doesn't relieve, if you're tearing yourself, so maybe I could hear your cheshbon about how it removes some of my anger, etc. But if you're tearing for Reuven, right? So Reuven doesn't want you to tear more. Okay, so I don't know if it gets rid of the anger.
And we said that one of the scars is to put more tzar on yourself. I did Kriya Sabeket. So this for sure, that's very trying to write it. Even though.
But I don't want, again, like just to push back on you, I don't want that much tzar. I want tzar to degree X, and you're giving me more tzar than I want. The Pesach Tshuva writes that there's an Isser of Baltashkas. My argument is that Al Karchacha, the Ravid, cannot say that there is Baltashkas. Wait, what? Now, there's a discussion in the post. Can we say that Kriya Miyushav, you're not Yotze? What about if you have a guy who can't stand up? No? I've done the number of Havayas that the Avel's in a wheelchair. The Avel, so if the Avel's a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana, we don't tear at all. That's what we saw in Shin Lamed Zayin. Don't give an Avel, don't give a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana bad news that will make him potentially get worse, right?
What?
So I don't know if that's by a Gosei specifically. Any person. Again, we don't know exactly how Ramagdir goes, but any person who's a Cholash Yesh B'Sakana, the Acharonim say, don't tell them bad news. You don't want to make them potentially die. It's a different simen, right? One is in Shin Lamed Zayin, one is in Shin Lamed Fes, or Shin Lamed Vod, whatever it is. But the point is, right, cholish mes lo mes, it doesn't sound like it's a ghost. It's just a cholish mes lo mes, in modi and oso. And in modi and oso, the shach writes, means if someone's a chola, we don't even tell him that someone else died. Not only do we not tell him that his relative died, we don't tell him someone else died. Certainly you should not tear kriya for a chola. So the guy who's in bed, right, nearing the end, you don't tear kriya. What about if the guy is just not a chola, but the person is in a wheelchair, right? You can't tear miyusha, but you can't stand up. So what do? So Mayor Braunstoffer, I actually met him twice. He was like one of the Dayanim of the Badatze de Charedes, no?
Yeah.
So he was like, attack it. So Mayor Braunstoffer writes in his Tshuvas Knebosim, I did not see this inside, I just saw that both Chacham Ovadia and the Mishmeres Hasmachos quote it. He writes that don't tear. There's no purpose in tearing. We pass in that if you're Korea Miyusha, if you're not Yotzei. So there's no purpose in tearing if someone is sitting down. Reb Chaim Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan has a suffix on page 2 that maybe the din that you should stand up is only when you should, when you can stand up. But if you can't stand up, maybe there is no din. Again, Meisvara, I could hear it, but you know, I could go back and forth. It's a very debatable point. The Mishmeres HaSmachos has the following argument, which some of you are going to like and some of you are going to hate. We pointed out last time we learned that there are two elements of the din of Kriya. There's the Maisa HaKriya, and there's a din that you should wear a Beged Karua. One could argue that the Maisa HaKriya is not fulfilled when a person is sitting down. Right? The Pasuk says, Vaya'amod Iyo Vayikra, Vaya'amod David Vayikra. To do a Maisa Kriya, you have to stand up. But it's reasonable to say that you're Mekayim, the Inyan of some sort of Beged Karua, which might be some element, some Inyan, that you want to have a Beged Karua. So if you sit down, maybe you are, even if you don't hold the Rib Fibal Kolon Svara, that if it's EF Shar, you are Yotze, one could argue that you are Mekayim, the second element of Kriya, that the Beged should become a Beged Karua. So we pointed out that the Minchas Chinuch and the Emek Bracha say that there's a difference in the Lashon HaPasuk between Mitzora and Nat. We also pointed out that maybe there's a difference in Ovav and Imo and Sha'ar Mason. By Ovav and Imo, the din is that if a person is Machlof Begodov, Toch Zayin, you have to rip again. Maybe there's no mitzvah of Kriya in that case. I already got my mitzvah, but there is a din of Beged Karua. Again, the language of the Pasuk does sound interesting. It's like the best type of proof in Judaism is like you have a Pasuk. But at the same time, there is this whole literature we saw in Rebbe Ephraim Zalman Margolios, right, that he entertains the idea that maybe Shlichus definitely helps by Kriya because there's a din just that the Beged is Karua. It's not abundantly clear, and one could argue that if there's a second din that the Beged should be Karua, so even if you're sitting down, you fulfill that. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. Didn't you say that according to the love, only had the Karua if there was Kriya?
If I was Mekayim and
so if there was no Kriya, then how can you have Karua?
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's again, that's why I said, like, some people are going to like this, some people are going to hate this. Like, all alumnus, we could play with it in many different ways. I think there might be something to it, to the idea that I am not Mekayim, the Inyan of Kriya, but there's another element of Beged Karua. Some of the Sfarim say as follows, Bismanenu, we don't tear Kriya, Vishas Yitzias Neshama. It's against the Gemara, right? We spoke about this. So the Smak writes that when the Gemara says that you Korea Lamaila and Korea Lamata Lo Yatza, the Smak writes, Lo Yatza means that it sounds like this lashon. You're not Yotze, the mitzvah of Kriya, but you are Mekayim, this inyan that should be a Beged Karua. So some say that if you're with a mace, B'shas Yitzias Neshama, you should like rip the bottom of your shirt just to kind of demonstrate something. It's an interesting point. I mentioned the last time we had this shiur that our minhag not to tear kriya b'shas yitzias neshama is very difficult. The Geshar Chaim writes that since it's so important to have people around b'shas yitzias neshama, we don't want to deter them by ruining their begadim, right? If it's a tear at the bottom, maybe you're not ruining the begadim. Someone sent me an email last week that maybe we should just encourage the Chevri Kadishas should buy lots of extra sets of scrubs, for the doctors. So the doctors, if they want to be mekayim the inyan of kriya, they're not going to rip their garments. Okay, maybe. Maybe there is something to it. The practice is that when you tear kriya, you recite the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. Technically speaking, these two things are completely unrelated. Completely unrelated. For example, Reb Shlomo Zalman's wife was nifter on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you don't tear kriya. He made the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. The pashtus is Dayan HaEmes is unrelated to the kriya. The Birkei Yosef over here in the first piece writes that the minog of people is that they recite Dayan HaEmes when they tear kriya, but they're unconnected. They're just doing that together because it's like we don't want to make a bracha without some sort of maisa, so we try to connect it together, but really, halachically, they are unrelated. That's why I mentioned to you that my understanding is that a nefel, if a couple loses a baby and there's no chiyuv of aveilos, they should still recite the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. It's no worse than a shmu'a ra'a. It's no worse than hearing bad reports that you recite Dayan HaEmes. Somehow, a practice developed that people recite the bracha of Dayan HaEmes without Shem HaMalchus, with the exception of an avel for one who is going to end up sitting Shiva. The Mishnah Berurah in Reish Paf Gimel Seif Katan Ches writes that the practice is that people recite Dayan HaEmes. Like you hear bad news, they say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Right? Technically speaking, if it's really bad news that bothers you, that troubles you, you should recite the bracha with Shem HaMalchus. It's really difficult that we recite the bracha without Shem HaMalchus, although I should note that the first Raivad at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos writes that all the brachos in the ninth parak over there, you see big mountains and stuff like that. The Raivad writes that all these brachos are without Shem HaMalchus. Somehow the practice developed that we follow that Raivad by bad news that you're not Mesabel on. But the Pashtus, I think, is that you should make Dayan HaEmes even with Shem HaMalchus when you hear bad news that that you are Mesabel. Even if you hear genuinely bad news, news that, pardon me, makes you feel very sad, you should say Dayan HaEmes even with Shem HaMalchus. I think that is the Pashtus. Hi, Akiva.
You mentioned the Ramah that says that if you're Miyushin, you have to go back and
tear again.
But you're saying that the Dayan HaEmes people make it on the Maisa, but it's not really connected to the actual Kriya. So if you.
The Sefer Shevet Miyehuda writes that if a person tore Kriya improperly, you have to make the Bruch of Dayan HaEmes a second time. And everyone jumps up and down, they spit wood in their because they say, my dear Shevet Yehuda, you probably had a beer, you probably were religious, but like this don't make no sense because there's no connection between Dayan HaEmes and Kriya. So if a person tore Kriya improperly, so you have to recite, you have to tear Kriya again, but you don't make the Brach of Dayan HaEmes again. I should note, by the way, that when we speak about Kriya as Mu'umad, the Gemara in Zvachem has a discussion that whether Smicha is Ka'amida Ki Yeshiva. This has nothing to do with the rabbinic ordination. Smicha means if you're leaning on something. And the post can say, if I'm leaning on something to the extent that they pull that something away, I would fall down. So then, Ki'ilu, I'm not standing. That's what the Poskim say. So the Pashtus is that when you tear Kriya, you have to really be standing. And if it's smicha, so then you're not mekayim the inyan. Sometimes an avel is like very distraught and doesn't want to stand up. You have to tell them, no, you got to really stand up to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya, like we spoke about. When do you tear Kriya? So the Maseches Smachos, right? That you tear Kriya when you get to the expression of Baruch Dayan HaEmes in the Siddur HaDin. That's what it says in the Maseches Smachos. And this made it to the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed Tes. There's like one line that says, Kishmagia L'Dayan HaEmes Koreya. That's the din. Nonetheless, the Shach The Shulchan Aruch over here, the beginning of Shin Mem, writes that you, Shulchan Aruch writes, the Rambam says, Tzarech lekroa kodem shiyistom pnei hames. And, right, that sounds like you have to do kriya before they cover the mace. The pashtus would be that that means that you tear kriya before they put the sheet on top of the mace. Again, today death happens in hospitals, which is not the traditional way. The practice is that we cover a mace with a plain sheet. You don't put a blanket on top of him, which will lead to more smell than necessary. The pashtus is that you tear kriya, right, bishas yitzias neshama, right? And if you don't do it then, you tear it, koidem sheyif. The lashon is before sheyistom pnei hames. The shach, however, writes that yistom pnei hames means bekever. That's the lashon of the shach and sif, katan gimel. That means that you should tear kriya, lechat kriya, before they inter the body in the ground. So the Gesher HaChaim points out that inherently there is a contradiction in the language. On the one hand, it says, Tzarech lekroa kodem sheyistom pnei hames, right? We would speak about maybe stima in the sense of stima sagolal, right? And if it's the din of covering the mace with a cloth, we'd use an expression of sheyachasa pnei hames. So the Gesher HaChaim writes that the shach, when he says kodem sheyistom pnei hames bekever, what the shach means is that you're mekayim the mitzvah of kriya lichatchila any time from death until sheyistom pnei hames bekever. The ideal is, like, again, I don't know what it means, that there are different levels of lichatchila. The ideal time is, right, when you're saying tzedek hadin b'shas yitzias neshama. Today, by the way, we don't say tzedek hadin b'shas yitzias neshama. Today, the Tzedek HaDin is recited at the Kavura. Right? Usually, it's recited after the Kavura. That's really not proper. It should really be done beforehand. I know many Rabbonim don't actually even do Tzedek HaDin. You really should do Tzedek HaDin. It's like right? It's a very important element. It's one of the halachos. Probably what the Shach means, as the Gesher HaChaim, is that you have this range of time between... the Misa and Sheyistom Pnei Hames Bekever, you have that range of time to tear, and that is a fulfillment of the Kriya Lechatchila. The Pistei Tshuva quotes, just in terms of how you do Kriya, again, I apologize if this seems a little bit disjointed, but it is. The Pistei Tshuva writes that the Kriya has to be done la'orach and not la'rochav ha'beged. No, he quotes a tshuva of the Radvaz, imkara la'rochav ha'beged lo yatsa. She'ein nira shekara el shenikra me'atzmo. If the beged rips widthwise, it appears like the beged just ripped on its own. So, first of all, I don't understand this, because I've ripped shirts in my lifetime, and they rip top to bottom. They don't rip side to side, no? Have any of you ever had a shirt that ripped, like an old shirt? It doesn't usually tear top to bottom. So we have no idea what this means. Moreover, in the Art Scroll English Sefer on Hilchos Avelos, which is a translation of the Hebrew Pnei Baruch, they point out that there ain't no such Tshuvas Radvaz. This Tshuva that you're not Mekayim Kriya when it is side to side, you're only Mekayim the Kriya up to down. It's quoted in the Pistei Tshuva Shein Radvaz. There is actually no such Tshuvas Radvaz, and the Pashtus is you fulfill the Inyan of Kriya side to side also. Although you may as well tear more, especially because we're assuming that there's really no Inyan of Baal Tashkis when you just rip a beggar that's already ripped against that earlier Pistei Tshuva. There's nothing to be lost. Oh. Do you tear Kriya on the Talmud Chacham? Sif Zayin. Chacham Shemes, right? We don't do the din of Omei B'Shas Yitzias Neshama and Adam Kasher. We don't do these din. Mr. Katz, how are you?
Marshall. when you said that you should get Kriya on the left side.
We'll get there.
But wouldn't that mean only you would have more Bimigala in order to be Migala Libo, you have to do that.
Actually, Agala, not necessarily. I could. You're supposed to start Suffolk Kami Beged. I'm supposed to start, but that's like if you have a shirt with like a collar or something. Let's say you don't. It's possible to rip side to side. Or I could say that what about Sha'ar Mason? Right? Sha'ar Mason, not Ove V'Imo. By Ove V'Imo, you're Megalas Libo. By Sha'ar Mason, I'm not Megalas Libo.
The din
of the left side is by Ove V'Imo. It's not a din. The minhag of the left side is by Ove V'Imo, not by Sha'ar Mason. Right? We distinguish between the left side and the right side. It's clear that this is a minhag, not by Ikar Hadin, because the Gemara talks about how Ove V'Imo are not b'chol safa, meaning if an individual loses a parent and then they lose a sibling, right? So you cannot be mosif on that kera, right? A kera for Ove V'Imo can't be mosif. Now, if you hold that this Maharsha was me Ikar Hadin, so of course, right, you can't be mosif. You don't need the Gemara to tell me. One kriya is on the right, the other kriya is on the left. Right? The Maharshal is entirely a minhag. It makes it like the Taz and the Shach. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It is a minhag. Therefore, if you rip on the wrong side, you get it right. Some people think that's like the only din of kriya. Right? The only difference between Ove V'Imo and Shach Krovim is which side. We're going to speak about in a few minutes how there are dozens of distinctions between Ove V'Imo and Shach Krovim. What about a Gadol or a Gadol Hadar? Today's Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Yartzeit, no? Today's Rav Aaron's Yartzeit. So I can tell you that the two Gedolim who I tore Kriya for, were Chacham Ovadia and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Chacham Ovadia, I was completely obsessed with. The thing that really got me into learning in high school was like one Shavuos night, like I see this book in front of me, Yechav Adas, and like I fell in love with it. And like when I was in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Lachman made so much fun of me for this. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I used to like run around, try to hear Shirim from Chacham Ovadia. Rav Lachman said, "Hey Schwartz, what does Ovadia say?" Like that type of line. Whatever it is. I felt like a real kasher to Chacham Ovadia, and obviously it's Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron used to come, I did not learn in the Gosh, I learned in Kerbi Afna, but Rav Aaron used to come to the yeshiva all the time. He gave shiurim. He was a towering figure in our community. I taught Kriya for both. I taught Kriya both for Chacham Ovadia and for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Now, technically speaking, do you tear Kriya for a Talmud Chacham when they are nifter? So it says in the Mechaber, Yeter Kriya and a Chacham and a Talmud Chacham Shashol and also Dvar Halacha B'chol Maklaim. Right? Somebody that you could ask Halacha anywhere. Anywhere. That's who Yeter Kriya for. And Yeter Kriya like Ove V'Imai, Achim Megalas Liba, right? The difference between Ove V'Ima and Kriya and Shach Krovim, or one of the differences is by Ove V'Ima you have to rip. Ad Shiagala Eslibo, we treat the Kriya for Talmud Chacham the same as the Kriya for Ove V'Imo. The Rama writes, however, Yesh Umrim, that you don't tear for a Chacham, Ela in Kain, Hu Rabo O Yod Im Mishmu Asav Shechidesh. Right? The Rama writes that you don't tear Kriya unless it's your Rebbe or you know some of his Torah. So the Shach seems to disagree with this. And the Shach writes that this is totally the machlokes between the Maharam of Rittenberg and the Ra and the Rush. And therefore, the Shach writes that in his opinion, you don't tear Kriya even in these cases. Even if you have a Talmud Chacham, even if you know the Torah of the Talmud Chacham, the practice is that you don't tear Kriya. I remember I was in the Beis Knesset of North Woodmere, the Shabbos when Reb Chaim Kanievsky was Nifter. So Rabbi Leibowitz gave a Friday night Dvar Torah, where he said that, like, it's so beautiful that his Kehillah got like 25 WhatsApp shaylas about whether you should tear Kriya when Reb Chaim Kanievsky was Nifter. And he said, yes, a machlokes Rama and Shach. I'm not convinced that this is correct. In other words, what he's saying is that since a practice like the Shas, you don't hear Kriya, so therefore in Reb Chaim, you don't hear Kriya. First of all, according to Mechaber, certainly, if there's any Jew who knew Maseches Kala, it's Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He actually wrote the book on Maseches Kala. Like, he is the Jew who knows Shmua B'chol Makom, etc. But there's another din, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Badei HaShulchan, there's another din that might indicate that you should tear Kriya for a Gadol Hadar. Again, if it's someone that's your Rebbe, so then Rama says that you tear Kriya, etc. The Shach might even disagree on that Nakuda, but certainly if you learn Torah from the person, it makes sense to tear Kriya. If someone's just a Gadol Hadar, but you don't know any Torah from the person, do you tear Kriya? So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Zayin talks about a Nasi Shemes. Right? What's a Nasi? Nasi is like the Sanhedrin, no? Do we have a Nasi anymore? I don't think so. Rabbi Berman, Rachman Olson. But yeah, I don't mean that. It doesn't mean the president of Hawaii. But Nasi Shemes, it says, has a din of like Av in terms of Chalitzas Kasef, in terms of Kriya Mibachot, all these dinim. So the Badei HaShulchan is bothered. How can you call this din of Nasi at all? We don't have a Nasi. So he writes, in his opinion, the din of Nasi is a higher madriga than the din of a Chacham. Nasi might be what we would call the equivalent of like Sar HaTorah, or something like that, like the president of Torah, the Gadol Hadar. And by the way, I think there are rayas from the Gemara that you could have more than one person counts as Gadol Hadar, no? The Gemara writes that Nadav and Avihu Shnei Gedolei Hadar Hayu. Right? You could have two people in Gedolei Hadar. There are differences between Siyam in terms of the carbon that you bring.
No, but doesn't that apply to like Sarar to it? That there's like the Resh Galusa, is like a certain aspect to.
Right, so again, in certain elements, the Resh Galusa has like the difference between like the Talmid Chacham and Bava and Eretz Yisrael in terms of who has like the ability to hit people. That's what you're referring to, those Gemaras?
Yeah, it doesn't apply that you have actually political power. Maybe like Ravad was.
I think that power was de facto, not de jure. Definitely not de jure. But again, one could take it or leave it. I think Reb Chaim Cohen's point that there's a difference between the Gadol Hadar, and that's the Nasi in Se'if Yud Zayin, and Se'if Zayin, which is a regular Chacham, I think that point, there's something to be said about it. Now, which begadim do you tear Kriya on? So nothing is simple in Judaism. The Gemara has an expression. It makes it to Shulchan Aruch, if Yud Afar Ksuso, Eino Tzarech L'Krila. We already spoke about Machlokas between the Rav and the Ramban. Does that mean if you want to tear Kriya, you can? If not, not. Now, what is Afar Ksusai? So there are three Perushim and Rishonim. They make it to the Shulchan Aruch. Some say it's the Beged Hazeya Hadavok Obasarai. Some say it is a shirt that is right against the skin. The Mishmeres Hasmachos Tainas, that this does not mean an undershirt. The shirt that's right next to the skin means, I don't know, there's a certain type of person who like just wears a shirt, right? Or a t-shirt. They don't like have we wear undershirts under our shirts usually. That's probably because we don't want our sweat marks to get through to our shirt, no? Especially if you wear a colored shirt, right? It could be a recipe for very bad fashion if you're not wearing an undershirt, right? Even the oven. But the point is, says Mishmeres HaTahara, that if Afar Ksusai means the Beged Hazeya, maybe that's not referring to our undershirt. Maybe that's referring to like people who just wear a t-shirt straight up. That's his argument. But our undershirts are not even a din Beged. If something is La'atzulei Mitinuf, so the Gemara in Shabbos tells me that it doesn't have a din of Beged. Am I allowed to walk outside on Shabbos with a hat cover? know, they have like these plastic things. So if it's just to protect my hat, it doesn't have a din of a beged. If the rain is so strong that without my hat cover, I would have the water go through to my head, so then it is a beged. A beged protects me. If something just protects my beged, it's not a beged on its own. Right? That's a discussion we had in the Hilchos Nidah Shiurim about can a woman go out to the Rishus HaRabim when she has her moch dachok, right? The Gemara speaks about the Nidah's moch, if it's there just to protect her garments so that people don't see the blood or the like. So that's Latzulei Mitinof, that doesn't have a din of a beged. So Mishmar Satara Tainos, that undershirts do not count at all. Therefore, when the Mechaber says that you tear Kriya on the kamiz, kamiz is like a word in English also, C-H-A-M-I-S-E, right? Like women have like garments that they call kamiz. So the minhag Sfaradim is that they tear on the kamiz. Minhag Ashkenazim is that we don't tear on the kamiz. That's what the Rambam writes. Says the Mishmeres HaSmachos, the kamiz was something that was a shirt that not what we would call an undershirt. That's his argument. Again, a take it or leave it. So Afrak Suso doesn't require a Kriya. There are three Perushim. Afrak Suso is either the Beged Zeyab, or Afrak Suso is the Beged Ha'elyon, which you call Kafa. We'll have to define that. The Sheet of Rashi is that Afrak Suso is like a kerchief on the head. No? That's a Sheet of Rashi. But all these shitos we don't tear kriya on. Now, Reb Fabakon the Badi HaShulchan points out that it's a little bit difficult that we don't tear kriya on any of these. We don't tear kriya on the upper garment. We don't tear kriya on the undershirt, on the beged hazeya. We don't tear kriya on either of them. But Ha'ora and the Perushim are disagreeing with each other. And therefore, whenever you have a machlekes or a suffix on the Zrabanon, and you're going to entirely uproot the din if you keep all the perushim, so l'cha'ora you should not keep all the perushim. The din and probably are disagreeing with each other. It's not so simple why we don't tear kriya on any of these begunim, assuming that they disagree. The reason why we don't tear any of the begunim is probably that we assume that they agree. So what are these begunim? So undershirts we don't tear kriya on. The beged elyon, which is called the kafa, we don't tear kriya on. What exactly is the kafa? So the Masas Binyamin, the tshuva of the Masas Binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Slonik, I believe Rabbi Shulman's father wrote his doctoral dissertation on the tshuva of the Masas Binyamin. No? Okay. Good idea. But the tshuva of the Masas Binyamin says that the it refers to what's called the shul mantle. It's the shul mantle, not the ruck. The ruck definitely requires kriya. The shul mantle doesn't require kriya. That's what the Masas Binyamin says. Now, the Taz does not like this pshat. He says a shul mantle is for sure not a beged. What's a shul mantle? A shul mantle is, I imagine, like the cantor's robes. When I was a kid in my shul, we had a cantor, and he had like special robes that he put on. No, he wore like a high hat, and he had robes and stuff like that. So I imagine like something that you only wear to shul, or like the graduation gown, no, that you only wear on ceremonial occasions. That's the Masas Binyamin says you don't tear kriya, and the Taz disagrees with Masas Binyamin. The Taz says, in his opinion, the shul mantle for sure doesn't need kriya because the shul mantle you only wear for ceremonial occasions. The funeral is not a ceremonial occasion, so you're not going to be wearing your shul mantle to the ceremonial occasion. So obviously it doesn't require kriya. Rather, the Afark Susai, according to the Taz, is the ruck. Now, a ruck in Yiddish is a coat. That means that according to the Taz, you tear a coat. Now, what's a coat? What's a coat? So the Pashta says it doesn't mean an overcoat. Because an overcoat that I wear like in the winter when it's cold, so that is functionally the same type of thing as Latzulei Mitinuf, but in a different way. a beged that is only there to prevent the cold, does that have a din of a beged? It's unclear. The Pashtus is, the Achronim say, that the overcoat you definitely do not tear kriya on. That's the Pashtus. So the discussion about the ruck might mean the jacket. So the Taz is saying, you for sure don't tear kriya on the shulmanto, that's only a ceremonial garb, and you don't even tear kriya on the ruck, which means what we call a jacket. The Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef writes that you tear kriya on the ruck, on the jacket, we'll say, because Misha Holech B'Shut below ruck, Genayhu Lo Ka'echa Min HaPchusem Yechashvil. Right? If you go outside without a jacket, you are a lowlife. I think this is like a big difference between like Haredi communities in Eretz Yisrael and other communities, no? Like a Haredi yeshiva guy will never walk outside without a jacket. Right? It's considered very low class to walk outside without a jacket. So the Shach says that you tear kriya on the jacket because it's a beged that if you would not wear it outside, you are considered achad min hapchusim. The Shach Tainis that the argument of the Nekudas HaKesef, that you don't wear the shul mantle to the funeral, therefore it can't mean the shul mantle, that's incorrect, because just because you don't wear it to the funeral doesn't mean it doesn't have a din beged. But ostensibly, the Shach holds that you tear the jacket, and the Taz holds you don't tear the jacket. That's ostensibly what the Machlokas boils down to. Rabbi Willig always tells Avelim that they should tear Avelim on Sha'ar Mesim, a brother, a sister, a spouse. You should tear Kriya on the shirt, not on the jacket, because a jacket is getting involved in Machlokas Shach and Taz, and Lav Dafka, do we pass it like the Shach? Even if you pass it like the Shach, the Sefer Mishmeres Hasmachos writes that if you live in a community where you sometimes walk outside, okay, show of hands, how many of you ever walk outside just in shirt sleeves, not with a jacket on? Is there any, right, okay, is there anyone who only walks outside with a jacket on? I actually sort of do, even in the summer, like I wear a jacket, like, but whatever. A rabbi, like, it's a pastor, like, achas hapchusim yechashu, I don't know. But the Pashtus is that even according to the Shach, you don't tear the jacket. So therefore, you should not tear kriya on the jacket. Rabbi Willig recommends that the Avel at Lulavaya removes the jacket and tears kriya only on the shirt. Now, this is not poshut at all, because one could argue that the shirt is called the Beged Zeya. During the 9 days, we're not supposed to wear freshly laundered clothing. Do you have to put on your shirts before the 9 days? Survey says our practice is not to, no? Our practice is that only, again, some people, I remember in Camp Monk as a kid, Rabbi David Cohen used to tell us we should put on our shirts before the 9 days. But it's certainly a polo shirt, like, why are you putting that on? But a shirt that is laundered, dry cleaned, and is really pressed, Rabbi Willig holds you don't even have to change that before the 9 days. He considers that like a beged zeya. His understanding is that beged zeya is any garment that gets like really sweaty. If that's the case, so then one could argue that bizmanenu, there's no chi of kriya at all on Sha'ar Mesim, because we don't have such a beged that would be chayv in kriya. That's already a wild idea. I don't think anyone says that. But it is reasonable to assume that the jacket is subject to Machlokas Shach and Taz, and even according to the Shach, perhaps you should not tear the jacket bizman hazeh, so therefore only tear the shirt by Sha'ar Mesim. In Breuer's, the minhag of the Kehillah is that even by Sha'ar Mesim, they only tear the jacket. They don't tear other begadim, they don't tear the shirt. It seems to me that this is not proper. When I once went to be Menachem of Avroya's family, decided to ask about tearing, I told them that, listen, my understanding is that you really should tear your shirt. Even if you're ready to wear your jacket, you should really tear your shirt by Shach Krovim, because I don't know if you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya on the jacket.
Is they walk outside without jackets and gloves?
Yeah, so that's the question. So they say that they're called yekas because yeka, for the sun, means jacket. So maybe they never walk outside without jackets. I don't know. It could be. Right? Anyone who's not a yekka is considered one of the pusim. Maybe that's the pshat, but I think they also do. I think today it's difficult. It's really difficult. Now, the Taz, by the way, makes the ha'ara at the end of Se'if Katan Hey that it's a chumra da'asuli de kula if you tear on the jacket, which is exactly what we're saying, because people will think that the only kriya is on the jacket. They think that you're mekayim the inyan of kriya on the jacket, and that's probably not proper. Begadim, what about a sweater? Yeah.
You have to take off the jackets.
So Rabbi Wolling says you should take off the jacket to avoid the suffix.
When it's cold.
But if it's cold, do you take off the jacket? So a beggar that you're wearing only for keeping you warm is a hard, like an overcoat that we pass and there's no chi of kriya at all.
Then you have to take off the overcoat?
So you take, I mean, yeah, you take off the over. Do you have to take it off? Probably not. If you're doing like an outdoor ravaya and it's like in the winter, you probably don't have to take off the overcoat. The assumption is just don't need to tear it at all. Right, that's correct. We take off the jacket because there's some sort of suffix. It's machlokes shach and taz. That's what we do. Beged for car. What about a sweater? Some of the Achrayim say the definition of beged is something that you wear in the house. That's the pashtus, right? That's what the taz emerges. According to the shach, it's something that you wear outside all the time. For taz, it's only a beged if you wear it in the house. Is a sweater something you wear in the house? Apparently in Israel, many people always wear sweaters in the house during the winter because it's like really cold. And like, but even so, they quote that Rebbe Yashiv says you don't tear the sweater because the beged is a beged only for warmth and begadim only for warmth, you don't tear. To be a beged, it has to be something which is a beged and also provides warmth. What about a talus cotton? You tear the talus cotton. So the Nitziv in the Tshuva and the Meshav Dachar write that you do not tear the talus cotton. His argument is that just like we don't tear a beged zeya, we also don't tear a beged shel mitzvah. Now certainly if it's a talus gadol, you don't tear that because that's like the shul mantle. That's something you only wear in shul, you only wear it davening. But a talus cotton I wear at home all the time. The Nitziv tainus that a beged shel mitzvah, you don't tear. That's his argument. The minhag ha'olam is not like that. Excuse me, the minhag ha'olam is like the nitziv, that we do not tear the talus cotton. The Tzitz Eliezer disagrees. The Tzitz Eliezer says that in his opinion, the talus cotton, Taisus in Nida writes, that there's a discussion about whether the mesim have to wear tzitzis. No, this is a difference between what Tosfos calls a svarim chitzonim, which means like meseches machos, actually, right? It's like, and normative Judaism. The pashtus in the Gemara is that you bury a mace with the talus on. The din has developed that we don't bury a mace with the talus on, or we pass all the talus before we enter the body. We'll talk about this later on. One of the Rishonim says that the cheshbin for burying the mace, for the cheshbin that we don't need tzitzis on the mace, is because to be a beged, it has to provide warmth. And the mace is cold anyway. Whether or not you cover him with the talus, the guy is cold. So therefore, you don't make one of the Balei Taisin, Dav Samach Avanida. The Rashbam says that you don't have to bury the mace. So the meaning developed because our talus is not, the talus on the mace is not providing warmth. The impression that you get from the Nitziv is that you don't need to say that whole shtickle taira. The Nitziv would say that you only bury a mace with the begodim. A beged shel mitzvah is not a beged. So you don't have to say this whole shtickle taira. The impression you get from that taisus in Nida is that the Nitziv is wrong. And the Tzitz Eliezer makes a large point about this. But nonetheless, the minig is like the Nitziv that we do not tear kriya on the talus cotton. Do you tear Kriya on a tie? You tear Kriya on the tie. So the Pashtus is, I thought that it depends on Machlekes Shach and Taz. Only Achas Hapchusim Yechoshu, who walk outside without a tie. I hope I'm not insulting anyone. But like a Hecher Mensch is not going to walk outside without a tie. And maybe according to the Shach, you should tear Kriya on the tie, unless you're the type of person who walks outside without a tie. I remember speaking to Rabbi Sabalowski about this, and his line was he doesn't think that a tie has a din of a beged at all. A tie is just a tachshit. It's not really a beged. It's not exactly clear how we define beged. The practice in non-Orthodox communities is that they give you a ribbon to tear kriya on at the funeral. Now, that's not mekayim anything. They put a ribbon on your lapel, you tear it, that's not mekayim anything. What about a shawl? What about a woman who shows up to Levaya with a shawl? She doesn't want to rip her shirt or something. Makes sense. You mekayim kriya on a shawl. So it's not abundantly clear. It's not abundantly clear. L'cha'ayra, the shawl is what? People only wear shawls like the same as men wear ties. No? It's like some sort of tachshit? Is that correct? Or they wear for the cold. So either way, right, it's nachayiv and kriyah, because either it's a tachshit or it's like a beged kar. So then one could argue that you certainly don't tear kriyah on a tie, and you don't tear kriya on a shawl. I have to admit, when I've done levayas where people didn't want to tear kriya on the garment, what I told them is wearing a shawl is much better than the ribbon. I won't tear kriya on the ribbon. I think that's ma'amish mevatel l'din. I think by the tie or by the shawl, there is what to argue that there is that there is an element of perhaps you might claim the mitzvah of kriya on the tie. I remember Rabbi Bleich a few years ago lost his daughter, no? So when he was sitting Shiva, I saw that he only tore kriya on his vest. Those of you who know Rabbi Bleich always wears a three-piece suit, no? With a pocket watch. Might be the last person on the planet who does this. Wears a three-piece suit with a pocket watch. So Rabbi Bleich only tore kriya on his vest. He did not tear his shirt. He did not tear his jacket. So what? The shirt might be a peged zeya, according to our cheshbon. The jacket, you know, you don't wear a jacket at home. You take off your jacket when you get home. I asked him during Shiva, I assume that this type of Talmud Torah is mother during Shiva. How come you tore your vest? He says, this is what I wear at home. I come home, I take off my jacket, I wear my vest. Okay? All right. Do you tear kriya on pajamas? No? Again. Right? You tear kriya in your pajamas. By Sharam Asim, it's not so relevant. You tear kriya at Levaya. Most people don't show up to Levaya with wearing pajamas. And then if you're machlof by Sharam Asim, you don't tear the begadim that you're machlof into. But on Vima, they have to tear kriya on the pajamas. So the pashtus is that pajamas are not considered a beged because only stuff that you would walk outside potentially does have it in the beged. Right? In other words, the Taz's understanding that it means stuff that I wear at home doesn't mean stuff that I only wear at home, stuff that would only ever be worn at home. It means stuff that I could wear outside, but I wear only, I take everything off at home and I only wear that, like the shirt. Pajamas, that I think is not a beged. My understanding is that pajamas are not a beged at all. The Badei HaShulchan at one place is mesupik about tearing kriya on pajamas. I wanted to do so much more.
How objective or subjective is this criteria?
I thought it's really subjective. In other words, I thought the line in the shot, Rabbi Yosef passed the shot, not like the Taz, right? And his line about wearing a jacket outside. In other words, we don't follow the Taz about what you wear inside. If you go outside, but achas ha'chusim yechashu, if you don't wear a jacket, that depends. Right? Am I the type of person who goes outside without a jacket or not? I think for Rabbonim or the like, that it would be an insult for them to walk outside ever without a jacket, even in the heat of the summer. So then maybe you should tear kriya on the jacket according to the shach, but for most people, you don't. Again, and Rabbi Yosher Paskin, the shach. Okay, any other?
Shall.
What?
Shall.
A shell for women. Yeah, so for women, the din of kriya is... What? So for women, the issue of kriya is that we don't want their body to be exposed. So usually we dafka tell them to wear like a shell and like a thing on top, and we rip the thing on top. Even though we din in the Gemara, you rip the thing on the bottom, then you turn around backwards and you rip the thing on top. We don't do that anymore. We just rip the upper garment, not the shell. So there's no violation. Sneeze. If they only are wearing like a blouse or something, so we tell them to bring safety pins and cover themselves up with the safety pins, even though by other ve'imo, you're not supposed to be sholel. Safety pins are the equivalent of sholel. No, it's not really sewing up, but for a woman, that would be not sneeze otherwise, so we do the safety pin trick. Yeah.
For an
issue, right, that's the point. That's what we were saying. Now, for an issue, she's shol alter because of its tznius, say, even though usually we're not sholal, but and wearing the safety pins is equivalent to sholal, correct. That's the point that we're trying to make. Okay. Tomorrow, I think we'll have to talk about different other than emo and shar krovim, and I really thought I would get much further today than I did. Okay, gentlemen, have a good day.
Anymore now.